All right, if you will, turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Look at verses 7 through 18 tonight. This is session 17, so we're starting back. It's been over 6 weeks, I guess, since we last met with the Awake 21 revival meetings. And so this is session 17 in our study. And again, looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 7 through 18. The title message tonight is Apostleship by What Standard? Apostleship by what standard? And if you remember, this letter is basically broken down into three sections. So I want to do just a real quick review on this. So we remember, I completely forgot where we were at and kind of what was going on over these last 6 or 7 weeks. But basically, this letter is broken down into three different sections. The first seven chapters, if you remember, Paul had a very strained relationship with the Christians at Corinth, the church there at Corinth. They had really had rejected him. But since that time, and that's between 1st and 2nd Corinthians, that 1 year period of time from 55 to 56 AD, they had mistreated Timothy whenever he came. They mistreated Paul whenever he had come. He wrote them this harsh letter. And thankfully, in response to that severe letter that Paul wrote, which we do not have a copy of today, in response to that severe letter, they repented of their rejection of Paul. And so in the first seven chapters of this letter, Paul is writing about the reconciliation that he has with the majority of the church there that repented of their rejection of Paul. Then in chapters 8 through 9, Paul is addressing the forgotten and neglected offering for the saints at Jerusalem. And so as all these other issues have been happening, that offering kind of got forgotten and kind of fell by the wayside. And so Paul's addressing that and reminding them to be prepared whenever he arrives for this offering. And that's in chapters 8 through 9. But then we come to this last section, which is what we went into right before we were on break there. And it's in chapters 10 through 13. And it's Paul addressing what would have been referred to as the super apostles who have come from Jerusalem. And they're still attempting, even though Paul has now confronted the church and dealt with a lot of these issues, these what are referred to as almost sarcastically as super apostles from Jerusalem are still attempting to take the church over. And there's a minority of people within the church that are supporting them. And so a big part of chapters 10 through 13, Paul is addressing those super apostles and addressing those that support them. And these are men who are boastful, they're prideful, they think, you know, we're the real apostles. Paul's not really a true apostle. We are. And so Paul is addressing that issue as they're coming, trying to supplant him within the church at Corinth. And we're going to look more at that tonight. But we'll get in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 7 through 11. And if you would, please stand in honor of God's word as we read this together. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 7 through 11. It says, do you look on the things after the outward appearance? If any man trusts to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given to us for edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed. That I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters. For his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech is contemptible. Let such a one think this, that such as we are in word by letters when we are absent, such will we be also indeed when we are present. Let's Lord in prayer together. Father, we thank you, God, for your word. God, we thank you for the opportunity to be able to just systematically just go through your word, go through these letters, verse by verse, statement by statement, understanding how they fit into the entire letter and what Paul is communicating, and more importantly, what the Holy Spirit is communicating to the believers there at Corinth, that God, that as it's written to them 2,000 years ago, but God, it's also written for us, for our understanding, for our instruction. And God, we have a lot to learn tonight. Father, as we go through this passage, we've compared this to going down into the cave and mining for gold. Father, it's laborious. It takes work. It takes effort to go through and to study and to research exactly what's taking place and what's being what the context is and what's being described and what truths are being communicated. Father, it takes work, but God, it's well worth that. As we are mining out gems, we're mining out gold, Father, as we dig through your word. And so, God, I pray that we would see that the same way tonight as we look at this specific passage, that God, we would see that there's so much for us to learn. Even though this is dealing with a very specific instance, a very specific situation in time, we see that there's so much for us to glean from this, to which has direct application to our life tonight and our society and our church tonight. And God, I pray that would be made so clear, Father. God, help me to be able to preach this clearly. And most importantly, God, I pray for your Holy Spirit, God, to speak clearly to each one of us tonight, that we can come away closer to you and understanding better, with a better level of knowledge, better level of understanding than how we came in tonight. But we do thank you, Father, for this time, God. We pray for your presence now with us, for the filling of your Holy Spirit. Spirit, God, for each one of us, that, Lord, we can receive your word and be transformed by it. And so, God, that's our prayer tonight. We pray and ask all these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. So the wording on this is can be a little bit confusing. Now, what exactly is Paul getting at here? What's he addressing? And to summarize what Paul is saying here is that what's being attempted is that if you discredit Paul, the founder of the church in Corinth, the church is yours for the taking. So you wonder, why are people showing up there at the church at Corinth? Maybe they probably know who Paul is. They probably met Paul. But why are they going after him? Why are they trying to say he's not really an apostle? Why are they trying to discredit him? The reason for that is that he's the founder of the church in Corinth. And if you can discredit him, then the church is yours for the taking. You can exploit it. You can do whatever you want to do. So that's what these apostles, these self-professed apostles, that's what they're doing. They have come from Jerusalem. They have a Jewish background. They're saying, hey, we really have the credentials to do this thing. Paul is kind of if anything, he's a second-rate apostle. So you discredit Paul, the founder of the church in Corinth, and the church is yours for the taking. And so they accuse Paul of being unqualified and lacking the credentials of a true apostle. Which, if you remember some things I was covering this past Tuesday night, if you had a chance to be there at the Awake 21 meetings, the Awake 21 revival, I raised some different questions, very basic questions. You remember what they were, if you were there? What was question number one? What do you mean by fill in the blank? That is such an important question. You see, everybody wants to be so smart today. We don't want to admit, I don't know what a term means. And so, you know, some people use different terms, and I just want to go along and I'll use my context clues and figure out what they're talking about. Abandon that completely. Stop and say, hey, I'm not as smart as you are. Somebody uses a term you don't recognize, ask them, what do you mean by that? What do you mean by that term? But even more importantly than that, maybe if a term gets used you don't understand, maybe they're using a term and you know exactly what that term means. But how are they using it? Because what happens is we use the same term, but we mean drastically different things. What does it mean to love somebody? What's the definition of tolerance? Drastically different definitions, but we're using the same term. Definition of truth. So asking that question, what do you mean by? What were the other questions? How did you come to that conclusion? What was that? What was number three?
Is that right?
Okay, so if someone says, you know, they're outraged about something, say, do you believe that that's wrong? Or if they say, it ought to be this way, you say, do you believe that that's right? And then you roll into the fourth question, which was,
Based on what standard?
Based upon what authority? No, that's true. By what standard is it true? It's wrong. It's an atrocity. By what standard? So you think about applying that to what we're reading tonight, and really that's what Paul's addressing here. Paul is unqualified. He lacks the credentials. What do you mean by qualifications? What do you mean by credentials? Unqualified by what standard? That's essentially what Paul's doing in this letter, what he's doing in this passage we're reading tonight. Unqualified by what standard? What do they mean by qualifications and credentials? Unqualified by what standard? And what it boils down to is it's by his opponents. They are the standard. And Paul fails to meet the standard. But good news, they always meet the standard because they are the standard. They always meet their own invented standard, which is based upon themselves. That's what Paul is dealing with at the church in Corinth. And he's going to talk more about this in just a moment, where he says, comparing themselves by themselves, they're saying, I am the standard. And that's not unlike what we are dealing with today. Immediately, 10 minutes into the message, this applies to today, where self is the standard for truth and morality. I'm the standard. If you disagree with me, guess what? You're wrong. And if you agree with me, you're right, because I'm the standard. Anyone who disagrees with me is wrong. Anyone who agrees with me is right. And as far as I'm concerned, you know, and as far as it concerns me, well, I guess I'm always right because I'm the standard. If I completely change my view on something, I go from being right in opposing it to being right in affirming it because I'm the standard. Now, that sounds, I mean, a child would laugh at that. That's exactly what's happening today. I'm the standard. I've heard of people who were passionately defending one view, this is right, and then they turn around and they passionately defend the opposite view and say, no, this is right, because now I've changed my mind. But where self is the standard for truth, for morality, that's what, and Paul is dealing with the same thing that we're dealing with today. Paul was dealing with the same thing in Corinth 2,000 years ago, 56 AD. Paul came to Corinth in the authority of Christ. He goes on to describe here that he has this authority, that I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord has given to me for edification and not for destruction. He has shown up in Corinth in the authority of Christ to establish and build up the church. He showed up there in Corinth under the authority of Christ. He established and he built up the church. These super apostles have done nothing but create division and have torn down the church ever since they showed up. You tell me who the true apostle is. Now, Paul is willing to use his Christ-given authority. And he goes on to say, you know, these accusations that are coming against me, oh, he's real bold in his letters, but he's so timid when he shows up. He's saying, I'm the same person. I am consistent. And he's not afraid to use his Christ-given authority to be as bold in person as he is in his letters, if that is necessary. So that's what Paul's addressing in these first few verses that we're reading tonight. And we, as I said, we find direct application of what Paul is dealing with, what we're dealing with in our day. We come on down to verses 12 through 14. It says, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. That's exactly what I was just describing. Verse 13. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you. For we are come as far as to you, also in preaching the gospel of Christ. So what is Paul saying here? He's basically saying, we're not going to take credit for other people's work. And as he's making these statements, you can kind of in an indirect way, that's what the super apostles are doing. They're taking credit for someone else's work. He's saying we're not going to do that. We who are true apostles, we're not going to take credit for other people's work. We're not going to make up claims that are not true. But rather, we are going to truthfully declare the gospel of Christ and what God has done. Not what we've done, but what God has done, not us. No exaggeration, but rather proclaiming the truth. And Paul, as he's saying this, he's contrasting himself these super apostles, they give themselves all the credit that they have established this church in Corinth. When they showed up, it was already there, and they've done nothing but tear it down and create division ever since the day that they showed up. But yet they take credit for it. Paul says, we're not going to do that. You tell us who the true apostle is. This is how Paul operated. Romans chapter 15. Turn to Romans chapter 15, verses 17 through 21. It says in Romans chapter 15, verse 17, I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed. Through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. He's quoting Isaiah there, the end of the book of Isaiah. What Paul's describing here, his mode of operation seems to be the opposite of the super apostles in every way. They show up when the work is done and take the credit. And that's exactly what's happening in Corinth. Paul shows up and performs the work, and after he gets it established, then he wants to move on. He doesn't want to build upon another man's foundation. But these super apostles show up when the work is all done, and then they want to take the credit. See, I lost my place here. And the problem with all of this is there's always going to be people, there's always going to be deceivers, but the problem is that the Corinthians are naively falling for this song and dance. And that's why Paul is addressing them to say, stop falling for this. Recognize that these are false claims and reject it. We come on down to verses 15 through 18. This is going to finish out the chapter tonight. It says, not boasting of things without our measure. Again, he's not exaggerating about what they've done, anything like that, but he is completing his assignments as given to him by God. But not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. So what Paul is saying here is that he has a desire, he is wanting to continue into the western part of the Roman Empire, to establish more churches, to preach the gospel to those who have never heard the gospel. And he wants the Corinthians to partner with him on this mission. But they can't do it, or excuse me, he can't do it because the Corinthians won't grow up. Paul has to stay back and finish what he started in Corinth, which should have already been completed, but now he's having to go back and rebuild again because these things are being torn down. So Paul has to stay back to deal with these issues, really, of ignorance and selfishness. He has to stay back so the church in Corinth doesn't fall apart. He has to make sure that they're well established before he can move on. And he has this desire. He doesn't just want to move on. He wants to partner with the Corinthians that they can help him to go beyond where they're at there in the middle of the Mediterranean, to go to the western part of the empire. We see here in verse 17 that Paul quotes Jeremiah 9:24. And this is another test of true apostleship, is that the one who's not glorying in himself, but rather is glorying in the Lord, as Paul is always doing. It's what Christ has done, what God has done, not what he himself has done. The one whose goal is to be commended by the Lord and not the one commending himself. So you can see Paul's frustration here because he's, you know, it kind of as is described in the book of Hebrews, you know, at a time when you ought to be teachers, you need one to teach you again. And that's what Paul's running through here, is that this should be, at this point, a strong, mature church, but instead, they're still dealing with these issues of ignorance, falling for things that are obviously false, dealing with issues of ignorance, but also issues of selfishness. So Paul is confronting this. There's the church at Corinth in these last few chapters. And we're going to stop with that tonight, but there's so many elements that I see in this that are applicable today, applicable to today. Claims that are true, that are good, that are legitimate. We ask the question, by what standard? If something is true, if something is good, if something is virtuous, if it's legitimate, it's those things by what standard? As I said this past Tuesday night, quoting from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. We have to put everything to the test. That's what wasn't happening at Corinth. They were just believing everything that came along. They did not put these individuals to the test. But we have to put every claim to the test. And my encouragement to you tonight is this. Let's not be like the Corinthians. Let's be like the Bereans, who we read about in Acts chapter 17, and they're being compared with those at Thessalonica. It says that they were more noble than those at Thessalonica because they had a readiness to receive everything that Paul said, but they searched the scriptures daily, seeing whether or not those things were so. That's the way we need to be. Hey, that's, you know, they heard Paul's preaching. They said, man, they glorified God. They said, that's wonderful, but we need to check the scriptures, and they were checking them daily to see, does that line up with scripture or not? And they were more noble than those at Thessalonica, and they were far more noble than those at Corinth. We need to be like the Bereans, putting these things to the test by the word of God. And second of all, and last of all, I'll say this. As I was thinking about this last section, how it is hindering the gospel, the immaturity of the church at Corinth is hindering the spread of the gospel. It makes me wonder how much gospel work could be going on in the world today if believers in America could grow up spiritually. Outgrowing ignorance, outgrowing selfishness, and getting focused on the mission to make disciples of all nations. To deny ourselves, stop making it about yourself. To deny ourselves, take up our cross, to sacrifice, to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, and to follow Jesus. I want to discuss these issues in our groups tonight. So we're going to stop with that.